everyone. Good evening. Very happy to be here. Thank you for the praise team. I enjoyed it. Yes. My order from the church is talk about dating. I talk about courtship. But I decided, well, I think we talk about God's word, and hopefully God's insight will touch our heart deeply. Because only God knows where we are and what we need. So, and I think dating, career, marriage, across the board, it's all the same. It's really where God's heart in us, and we will follow his heart, right? So if we apply his command joyfully, then across the board, then we will happily follow him. It doesn't say we follow Jesus easily. We do have a lot of struggles. We do have lots of temptations in front of us. But when we realized he is our inheritance, then we decided we have choices. I talked to my dad a lot when he was getting old. He was 18 years old. He established his own company. I think maybe the blood runs through the family. And then he always, when he came to U.S., and he often say to me, he say, he wasn't a Christian at that time. He often say to me, Esther, you have a company, but you don't do bribing. You don't do kickback. How your company going to be survived? Right? And here is U.S. But in U.S., is there no corruptions, no bribing? I was working for Pastor Steve was saying that I was working for Bell Laboratory, yes, and I was in charge of a computer center, troubleshooting center, helped the customer worldwide. And that was my first 15 years job, helping, using the technology to help the people to resolve their problems. So one day, I was taking care of order from my customer, which is Bell Labs. And I met up a broker, which is a middleman, who's a Jew. And then we have to buy multi-million dollars of computer equipment. So he said, Esther, because we have known each other for years. So one day, he decided to ask me, he said, Esther, how much money would you like to put on the purchase order? That's indication that he's trying to bribe me. For example, if the computer worth about $5 million, then I can tell him, hey, write it down, $5.5 million. Understand? So, wherever you go, it beyond the nationality, that our heart is weak. Our heart are facing the temptations all the time. But before, we have no choice because we follow the trend, right? But since we have Jesus, we have a lot of choice. So when my father says something like that to me, I was praying inside. And I find it's very useful when I read Bibles. I enjoy reading Jesus' word and also his behavior. I think he's the person with the greatest EQ. I love to read Jesus' story. Why? Because when he confronted difficulties, he walked away or either he prayed inside. And then something came out from his mouth. It's always so wise. So I was, my father was saying something, and I was learning. And then God put something in my heart, and I turned around and said to my dad, I said, Dad, you were young, and you had no choice, because everyone else surrounding you were doing the bribery, doing the kickback. And I was saying to my father, I said, I do have a choice. And my father was very curious, what is your choice? That he fall into my trap. I turn around, I say to him, my choice is Jesus. And then he saw my company rise up quickly with 3 years. Because in us, there's a boldness and there's a strength in us that nothing can ever overcome what we have in us. We live in Cherry Hill right now. Temporarily, we are serving the church locally for 3 years. And we are very close to one of the famous schools, Yopan. 2-3 weeks ago, we just read another news that one of the young girls, which is about maybe 20s, that when a train came by, she prepared herself and she jumped in front of a tram, and she got killed. I think in this kind of incident happening, at UPenn at least, which is the closest university to us, at least average 10 people. And most of the young people who are Asians, most of them are Chinese. So I feel the burden when I prepare this message to share with you. I wanted to share with you that what we have inside is so powerful. So if you look at me, would you tell me what kind of background I came from? Anyone? My family background. Am I coming from a very poor family, rich family, happy family, dysfunctional family? Take a guess. Take a wild guess.
Rich family.
Rich family. Okay. I don't have a diamond ring. Anyway, what else?
Dysfunctional.
Why? Okay, that's not fair. I didn't ask you the reason. Yeah. The same question. I was working in Bell Labs. One day, girl, we all have a different room at Bell Labs. That she came up to me. She said, "You don't know me, but each time I was working on the hallway, I often bump into you. Like I mentioned to you, I was troubleshooting for the entire information center. So I dealt with a lot of people with problems." So she came to me to say, "I have something very serious in my life. And I am about to make some decision. But every time I saw you, I just feel that warmth of joyfulness just like coming from you. And I just wanted to maybe talk to you and see what kind of advice that you could offer me." You know, God puts us at a marketplace, has a purpose. Because now all the pastors, ministers can enter into the marketplace. That's why God put you and me, university, not everyone, pastor can go into the university. That's why the student, college student, that's why we are there for. So I often pray to God, I say, in this 7,000 people building, mostly high-tech people, why are you putting me here? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? What is our purpose in life? Pursuing degrees one after another, that is important too. That's our foundation, right? But we are very different. We are very different. We have something so unique, nobody has it. We have a connection to the heavenly realm that we have someone within me constantly providing the wisdom, strength, and knowledge to us. We have a connection. We have the connection. So I brought her to cafeteria, one of the very private corner. So I begin to talk to her. She say, "I'm about to divorce, but I wanted to just share with you my story." And while she's talking to me, my inside was very busy praying to God. I said, "God, what do you want me to say to her, right? We have an open communication channel to God. And the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to listen into what God has to say about someone's life, precious right, life in front of you. We only handle nothing but precious life, soul in front of us. That's our job. That's our mission at the workplace. And God says, tell her about your story. That's the question I ask you. I say, hey, where do you think I can come from, my family background? Oh, she said, you must come from a very happy family. Then I knew God gave me a hint. I said, look, my mom passed away when I was 9. My father decided a wife is more important than finding a mother for us because he has 5 children and we're all very young. Any of the interview he went to find a wife for us, finding a mother, they were scared because 5 of us showing right away at the door. Anyone will be scared, right? So everyone shut the door. They're not stupid, right? They're not taking the 5 children under their wing. So my father decided to marry for a wife for himself and then disconnect. That means bring us along into his marriage. So they have been living a small family style, just my stepmother with him. So I came from this family, and my father then moved away in Hong Kong, and I was in Taiwan. So each month, my father will write some check for us. Not enough for us to go starving, but not enough for us to feel abundance. But we were okay. We just get by each day. But something happened. I used to, you know, think about, I was kind of depressed, maybe using the current words, you know, word that people like to refer in these days now, depression. I was kind of gray. I always feel down, you know. I said, everyone has their parents. How come my only father abandoned us? You know, he chose something other than us. And then one time, I went to this student fellowship, and one of my friends tell me about Jesus. And I was saying to her, I was teasing her, I say, in this society, in this scientific world, there's no such thing, you know? But something within me was hunger for something. Because I have seen so many deaths in my life. My mom passed away. It's only 4 nails that separated us with her. And she loved each one of us so dearly. And then my aunts, you know, they passed away one after another one. So I was pursuing something, and then I say, if anything I pursue, they will vanish, they will pass away. So what's the purpose really in life? But then, like I mentioned, I went to the student fellowship, and I was touched by such an overwhelming love and care. And my heart was saying to me, hey, here, there's something here that I've never been touched, I have never experienced. So a couple years later, I continued to go back. I wanted to know more about the source of those love. Where are those love coming from? They are not my relatives. Even my relatives abandoned me, right? They are not my friends, but they have shown up, they have come, you know, just overpouring the love over me. So a few years later, I accept Jesus into my life. I think that's the beginning of the journey of following Jesus in faith, because I did not have much to carry on. I did not have much to carry on. But that accepting of Christ truly transformed my life, because I was holding on to him. I'm not letting anything get between my Redeemer in me. I think that truly gives me the strength. So let me just share with you my family. My husband, the most to you is rightmost is my older son. And my younger son, and now is his wife. I have two boys, Jonathan and Sam. They both are very much into the sports. John graduated from Penn State playing football. And Sam graduated from Rutgers. Now he's a full-time pastor. God has called him full-time after he has worked from his college degree. And this is my picture when I went to northern part of China for mission work. And they brought me to for sightseeing for the morning. So I wanted to, now you know who I am and you know my family. I'm joyful all the time. Although my background has encountered so many challenges and difficulties. I came to U.S. With nothing. And at that time, I was very young, and I always wanted to challenge. I said, God, you know, nobody knows how little I have. But the Bible says you are the abundant God. So I wanted to experience who you are. So I don't have much, right? So I was praying to God. I say, faith is going to lead me to see him. You know, two times, as I remembered, the church opened their offering box and they find someone put some cash in there, wrapped with paper, right, has my name on it. I think that time I was only senior high. I had a need, nobody knows, only God knows. Because I want to build this relationship with God that only I want to know who he is. I wanted to know who my father is, my heavenly father. Did he really hear me? Did he really see me? I want to have that kind of experience with him. So when I took that money in my hand, guess what? I cried. I cried dearly. I said, God, how do you know that I have such a need? Unless you are the true God, you wouldn't know that I had a need, right? First time and second time. And then on my way to U.S. to study as a student, nobody knew how little I have. One of the brothers came up to me. That was many years ago. He came up to me. He said, Esther, last night I was during my sleep. God woke me up and told me to give you $200, U.S. dollars. And that time, money was very big. I took that money in my hand. I said, God, you knew I'm not going to U.S. alone, poorly. You are coming with me. That you are such a great God within me. So I had a three job in addition to study. I had a three job, part-time job. I was working in the Japanese import-export company, doing some bookkeeping work, and I was working with a Chinese restaurant. Since I know the food, so I think that could be easier for me. I was totally wrong. You know, they have a Chinese in America, they have those hot dishes that they burn the iron so hot, right? You're supposed to take the dish out and then bring out the dish and then like a showcase, right? Put over the hot burning iron, you know, that flavor, the delicious smell all coming out. I didn't know. So I bring this dish out along with all the burning hot iron plate, right? So I was there thinking about I did good. And the manager came out running and yelled at me, you're fired. You didn't know how to do your job. And then the restaurant has those drinks, right? The bar, right? And I wasn't raised up here. I didn't know. I mean, whiskey and the glasses all has a different style, right? I was making them mixed, so I got yelled at again. Yeah. And then I thought, you know, I need to go to the American restaurant because I need to learn. I need to pick up, right, my language. So I went to American restaurant. So I had a three job. Every day I had three jobs. And I had to study hard. But Jesus was my joy. So tonight I want to share with you Psalm 16. 如果你们有 Bible 在你们手上的话, 可以翻到 Psalm 16. Okay? Tonight I'm talking about the joy, the fullness of joy, that Jesus is our satisfaction. And this is my title. It's a very short chapter. It's only 11 verses. So can we read it slowly? I have the brother read the odd and the sister read the even one. Okay, let's get started. Go ahead. Verse 1. For sister, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Sisters, where are you? Okay. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink of offerings of blood, I will not pour out or take their name on my lips. Okay, brother.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my blood.
Sister. Okay, this is a very precious chapter, so we will try to go slow. So, degree of joy that God has lavished over us is the fullness. That means there's no any empty spot in our life. The joy is not to the full extent. And I will share that more later on. And the source of the joy is really has to be in God's presence, right? Other than His presence, there's really no joy. And I think we are here sitting, many of you here, some of them are Christians and some of them are seekers. And I want to challenge the Christians. Do you really experience the full joy of God? And I know many of you are very young. And I wanted to really challenge you because I was young and I was very serious about God. And when I took that attitude towards God, everything in my life became a reality of grace in me. The security never taken away. And I think in our life, the security is one of the very important words. And when we grow older and older each day, and we find out there's no lasting security in our life. For example, my mom was graduated from Shanghai Fudan Dashi, although she's very educated. But her health situation was very, very bad. And I still remember that time that she was so managing herself, even she was very weak, but she tried to satisfy each of our needs. And we feel secured, but everything is temporary. When the time has come, and she was taken away just like that. One day my father came home and said, "Mom is gone." You know, so that put me in my heart at the early stage, at the age, what is the security? Is there such a thing actually exist on this world? If we could, can we turn to Book of John, chapter 16, verse 22. Okay, gentlemen, brothers.
So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy.
Yeah. God says, the joy that we have held within our heart, no one can take away from us. It doesn't say in the rosy, in the smooth journey of life, the joy is here. It says in all kinds of circumstances, the joy will never take away from us. I mentioned to you, I had a 3 job in New York. Of course, each day I went home about midnight. And the streets are filled with those people who are either drunk or doing some illegal drug dealers, dealing, things like that. But I was walking straight, passing all those people. Why? Because that joy, that security within me is staying with us, is staying with me. It was so solid that I can feel, and I'm not afraid of anything. Since I met the Lord, since I accept Jesus within my heart, I have never feared anything. But I do fear of the Lord. But other than that, I'm not feeling, and I'm not afraid of anything, any people. And later on, I will share with you more as to the attitude carried through our lives. You know, there will be places that we developed personal relationship that didn't work out. How would you amend the situation? There will be situation that you were working for the corporate environment, but happened to be a very hostile environment. How would you take care of yourself? How do you manage yourself? Not losing your cool. It's all the things that, because the security, because the joy within us, because the peace in us, that stabilize everything. Stabilize everything. That is our testimony. And that will bring glory to God. And then unlimited joy in the spirit. Let's look at the Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Anyone here? The younger crowd here. Do you remember Abraham when God spoke to him, right? And God accounted him as righteousness. Why? Because Abraham believed in Jesus. Also, Abraham took actions. And then God considered him righteousness. And today, I want to ask all the Christians here, even you are young, I want to ask you, are we desiring to be called by Jesus? Yes, you are righteousness. And not in heaven when we see him, right? It's on earth. That God wanted to justify us. Yes, I want you to be a righteous person. Why? We not only have faith, but we follow with actions. Now this day, a lot of things has happening in church as well, because church also accepting homosexuality as well. The world trend has broken into the church. A lot of rules that from the world has come into the church. The church's door is widely open to those things. And that challenge our younger generations. And later I will talk about dating, things like that. I have two sons, as you'll see. And I understand it's my responsibility to share with him about dating. But I don't know how to say it. I never was a mom before. Everything has its first time, right? So God is my portion. God is my joy. So what did I do? I'll go to God. I say, God, this is a very tough subject. How do I do it? And I can share with you, you saw my husband in the picture. So my husband was sharing with my two boys. He said, when I begin to realize I need a wife, he was, 27 years old. He was an old man. All of a sudden, he realized, wow, I didn't have a wife yet. So he began to pray to God. He said, God. And then he decided, I'm not going to look girls elsewhere. I'm going to look for my partner within the church. That was good because I was in the church. So I was 5 years younger than him. I was 22. I loved the Lord dearly, and I surrendered my future husband marriage into his hand. Because I saw how marriage worked in my parents. You know, a lot of relatives, you know, they seemed to be man and wife, but had such a divided lifestyle. And they don't complement each other. They were like far through the entire marriage. Now I am a Christian now. So how am I going to find my future husband? And this is something everyone will face it, because you were so afraid that God will bring an ugly man to you, right? So I was like so worried. I said, God, you know, I really wanted to let go with my future partner. But if you find me someone very ugly, like in the middle of the night, I turned around, I saw his face, ow, you know, I'll be so scared. So I was like calculating within my little head, thinking about, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with your choice, God. So I was contemplating, like, we all do that, right? And then, of course, I dated many non-Christian boys. So, but you know what? Once our life is with Jesus, your core value, your world value has changed. Something is so dear to you. Something is so precious to you. It's so close to your heart. And guess what? You are dating a non-Christian friend. You cannot talk about your core value anymore, right? Because you are totally at a different path. You say something so precious to you, he or she doesn't care. Because that is not her cup of tea. Or he's not actually there. So after a few tries, I went back to the Lord. I said, God, now I know when your word says the believer and non-believers cannot share the yoke, I really fully understand. So I said, okay, God, my future is in your hand. You know, faith is building overnight. I mean, gradually. You know, sometimes our Chinese people are very emphasis on the result. Our parent looking at our kids' report card. Wow, there's a B. I went to my sister's home. And that was the time. One of the kids handed her the report card. He said, oh, there's a A minus, or B, something like that. And I moved over, look at it. I said, the rest, they were all A's. My God, I say, I only just tell my boys, do your best, that's it. But you know, we all very emphasis on the result. We are result driven. This is the culture in China as well. Fast, everything is fast. Eat fast, rush everywhere. Like here in this life, right? We are rushing in the morning. Eat something and go to school, right? When you come home, your parents saw you, the first thing, did you do homework? Bah, 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 you know, so fast. They'll give you the list. Did you play piano? Did you play violin? Did you do this? Bah, 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 just like that. I was like that too, because I was working in the corporate environment. Everything has to be effective, quick. And then I will come home, I will share with my two boys, you know, just like, mommy already working very hard. So to do good is your natural thing, right? Is it? But then I saw the light coming through the door. God spoke into my heart. That was many years ago. God says, I never treated you like this. I was with you always with patience, with understandings, with endurance. I turned to God. I said, God, I want you to change me. I want you to change and put your character in me. I know that's very difficult, but God loved these kind of prayers because we are so focusing on doing the right thing or doing things right, but God's focus is in us, human being, our soul. So here it says, we have the joy in the spirit when we are in his presence. That means we're not doing our own thinking. We're not doing our own calculations. One day, when God dealt with me, right? That's many years ago. I went home. I suddenly, my voice raised up because I want to tell my boy a few things. But he didn't care to listen. So, you know, voice raised up. Quickly, Holy Spirit spoke into my heart, say, again and again. So what did I do? Take a guess. Huh? Yeah, I went upstairs and I apologized to him. I said, Mom is really sorry. Yeah, that I shouldn't have treated you like this. There's a peak that I apologized to my son 7 times a week. The first time my son was very curious. He said, is that Mom? Is that my mom? Is she serious or she has a mental breakdown, something? But again and again and again, I allowing God to break me. I'm broken by him, by his love, so I can be a different person. So righteousness, all the joy and peace in believing. So there's a reward when we believe in Jesus. There's a reward and joy and peace. I mentioned to you, right? I was accepting, I was receiving the offering from God directly through his family members, God's people. And by believing in Jesus, I had such a joy and peace in my heart. I was in New York working part-time. And you know, temptations everywhere. I was young, cheerful, bubbling. So there were a lot of guys, has a lot of money. They already established, they are doctors, they are do whatever. So they will come next to me and say, hey, you know what, Esther, you didn't have to work that hard. You just come and stay with me. Your tuition, everything will be taken care of. Temptations everywhere. But you know what, we have Jesus within us. He is in us. This is so strong that we only want what is coming from the Lord, and we only want the best. In this world, there's a lot of things seem like appear to be interesting, appear to be good, but there are only man's agenda behind it. That you will experience this in all aspects in our life, any relationship. There are personal agenda behind the relationships. At the marketplace. One day you graduate from college, you're doing some work. You were working with different levels of management. Anything has a calculated, planned agenda behind it. So when we come before the Lord, when his agenda is our agenda, then you can see through all things. that you will not settle for the second best. You will settle for the best. And only the best coming from God. So, moving ahead. So these are the challenges that I asked you earlier. Do we truly believe in God? I was mentioning to you, what is believing? What is righteousness? When we believe something, we take action. Right? When we believe in something in Jesus, we took actions. We feel something within us has to be changed. For example, we may have a bad temperament. We get easy quickly. We get irritated quickly. When we were dealing with our friends, our family members, siblings, sometimes you get irritated quickly. Why? Because that was part of the old self. Right? But Jesus was, in his word, he said, we need to cast away the anger. So if you do believe in Jesus, then we pray to God, say, would you change my temperament? Because temperament was given by God as well. Our emotion, our temperament, all given by God. Right? But again, if we surrender our emotion to God, then it's different. It's different. You find yourself easy to calm down. You find yourself, you are focused. How do we satisfy in Christ? That means, are we really content? I was telling you that I was, I think, 20 years old. I don't have a boyfriend. So what do I do? And in that kind of time in Taiwan, you know, everyone look at you, say, she's kind of old, you know. She didn't have any boyfriend. Something wrong with her? But you know what? My energy was consumed in Jesus. I was so in love with Jesus. Nothing was bothering me. So I was very happy. And then my husband showed up. He was mentioning to, I think this is, I want to share with the guys. My husband decided, maybe this day, this is a courtship. By that time, we don't have these fancy words. I guess in a very brief way, they understand that courtship is your date to marry. You're not dating for the sake of dating. So my husband was 27 years old. Is that correct, by the way? Courtship. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. So he was looking for a sister to be married, right? So he was looking. He was looking. All the sisters in the church. Then he saw three sisters. I was later on, I was teasing him. I said, wow, you have such a big appetite. Three sisters. But then he said, he was praying. He was praying to God. Say, God, in my smooth journey in life, can this sister accept all the good times? Then she prayed, God, in all the bad times, can this sister going through this bad time with me? She was praying about it. And he said, after 6 months, he was clear. God stuck my name in his mind. But then he prayed, he was thinking about could be his own desire. So he prayed another 3 months. And then he wrote me a letter. Esther, let's meet. Where? At the Christian bookstore. No romantic. We met the first time. And when I received his letter, I started to pray. So he asked me, would you marry me? Would you consider, you know, later on? I say, I'm not sure, I have to pray. So I prayed, I think, for quite a few months. And we were just like brothers and sisters. One day I was singing the song just like you guys did. And that song was At the Cross. It's a different version of the At the Cross. And God kind of spoke in my heart saying, if you're going to go along with this brother, you guys is going to walk down the path in the cross. So God kind of revealed that to me a few times. So I was praying to God and I say, all right, I will accept that. So all these years passed, my son, right? My two boys always like to share all his friends to me because I never really judging all my all his friends inviting to my home. Because I think some of the parents will need to know, we need to honor our children's friend. But when we honor their friend, I told my son up front, it doesn't mean that they are your future wife, right? They are your friends. So they like to invite their girlfriends to our house always because they want my opinion. They want me to pray about it. I usually don't tell them whether I like this girl or I do not like this girl because it's not my concern, right? The most important, he has to like it because it's his wife, future wife. And he has to know God's will on this matter. So when he was young, they were like in there. He will come home when he go to Penn State. He will come home with me, tell me, Mom, there's a lot of American girl came up to say, let's be friends. Let's go out, like dating. Like they're very aggressive. So my son will tell me his answer to all those invitations. He will say, we are hardly friends. How can I go out with you? So in our home, everything is discussed openly because I never comment, I never judge them. Whatever they want to say, I wanted to say from their mind, I just listen and I pray for them. I just pray for them. Praying that God will open their eyes, inside their eyes, they will see who are the right partner, soulmate in their life. And I think the trick is you really needed to look beyond. You need to look beyond. When they were young, they would come home. My son would tell me, Mom, can I date African-American? Could I date Indian? You know, he asked me all these questions. And I was thinking about, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says all the people coming from all the world, they're all up there worshiping God forever. So I say to my son, it doesn't matter as long as she is a Christian. One day, my son brought home African-American. She's born again. They're very confirm about the faith, brought this very nice girl home. So that was the Thanksgiving time. So I baked a turkey. We're having a great time. So my younger son, which is 6 years younger than my older son, he ran into the kitchen and pulled my sleeve, say, Mom, are you okay with that? Are you okay? Hey, Mom, you were so open-minded. I say, what am I going to do? Right? What am I going to do? Cry for it? It's only a friend, right? So I say, I'll pray. I say, don't worry about it. So we have such a nice meal. And the girl was very open. She told me she liked oolong tea. So I even went to the Chinese supermarket to buy oolong tea, a bottle of oolong tea for her. So I tell her, so I asked her, I say, what do you do? Because she's a dentist hygiene. I say, what do you do at the leisure time? She said, I'd like to fire the pistol. I said, wow, pistol. So I say, how do you manage to get the pistol? She told me that my father is a security officer. So she gave me a gift as a pistol. So when I under a lot of stress, she said, I just went to the open field and shoot. So I was like, oh, okay, sure. And I asked her, do you have a license to carry the gun? She said, no, it's just my private gun. I said, okay. All right, I didn't say a word. And we were just like talking. And I knew she was very comfortable at my home that night because later on at night, she was laying on the couch watching all the TV channels, you know, that African-American people watch. I didn't realize there are so many channels like that. So I was watching together with them. So time goes on, right? My son will come home and tell me everything. My son will tell me first thing, he said, Mom, I like this girl. We are pretty much share the same color. Okay. And most of the time when they say anything, I just listen. I have no comments. I just praying for them inside. Very, very eager praying for them. The second thing, he sometimes will come home, he will tell me, Mom, I only like this girl, my girlfriend. I don't like the rest of the two sisters. I said, why? She said, because they were really dark. And then he told me that they're not good. I said, why they are not good? He said, because they don't respect marriage. They had a baby with men. Okay, all right, okay, sure. So he was saying all these things to me. So I was praying to God. I think that's our responsibility to pray for each other. So one day I have an overseas business trip. I was going to the airport. And God spoke in my heart. God said, you tell your son about three things. God listed everything in my heart. Remember the book of John that God says, my sheep hears my voice. And I'm leading them to go. So a lot of brothers and sisters ask me, Esther, how could you hear God's voice all the time? If I'm standing right in front of you, what's your name?
Joseph.
If I'm standing next to Joseph all the time, if he says anything, I'm going to hear. So that is our attitude before God. Maybe we are busy outside, but our inner being is at peace with God. We are seeking for his approval on all things. Because once we realize what he gives to us is the best. Listen to this, it's the best. You don't want anything other than the best. You don't want anything other than the best. So I was saying to my boy before then, we were younger, like your age. I say, you know, God has prepared. God created each one of us here. And God has a plan to make a partner for you guys, for you. And only one partner God is making, fitting according to his creation. So you have that one perfect partner is waiting for you. So what would you do to prepare yourself? You know, that comes in the purity. If God is our portion, if God is our best, we have to know There's no compromise. There's no compromise. No matter how the world is giving away, how the world, the value system has really diluted. But we Christians, we are standing on firm, knowing that we belong to Jesus. And there's no compromise. You know what? That gave my son a purpose for keeping himself impure. That is very important. I said, can you imagine if you spoil yourself? How about the gift? God is in preparing the gift for you. When his time comes, the gift is going to be come appearing in front of you, that beautiful, precious gift. Are you worthy for her? Are you worthy for him? How would you imagine yourself? So we need to resign from all these actions that doesn't please God. We need to exit. We need to resign from all this. You know, when I was your age, I was knowing God, right? But our life still transforming step by step. I used to like disco a lot, dancing clubs. Don't think about disco exists now, exists 20 years ago, or even longer. So we went to meet a lot of strangers, a lot of people having a great time. You know, your flesh just kind of let out. You just like kind of exchanging information, stuff like that. I was already a believer, but my heart was seeking to honor him. But I was still not able to have the strength to resist my friends. They were not Christian. So lots of temptation. You want to conform. You want to, you know, take a side together with them. You don't want to be different. So I went with them many times. In those very noisy, very dark environment, people go crazy. So one day I was standing in the disco, all the lights, you know, flashing. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, very soft. WWJD, I think you guys all know. What would Jesus do if he's here watching me? You know what? You know what I did? I'll just pull myself together. I walk out from the disco, and I never returned. Because God is training us to fit his calling. So, next question. Do you have any idols hidden in our hearts? We may, you know, stay away from the idols that we see, very obvious ones. But do we have idols, young and old? I am asking everyone, do we have idols within our heart that we knew about it? Do we dare to trust God with our a future? See, when you have this attitude thinking about God, you think you are in control of everything, you are letting your dating to go with God. Later on, you are letting your marriage to go with God. Changing, allowing God to change your characters to fitting in the marriage, because people are coming from different environment. Our temperament, our habits are all very different. For little things, you can start a very heated conversation or even fights. So we need to really trust God that we wanted to God to change us. Then across the board, our workplace, do we truly trust God with our future in the career? One day, I mentioned to you, I was troubleshooting, right? So usually, all the first line troubles will be resolved usually on Friday night, no later than Sunday around noontime. So I was at church that day, and I was called to go in to troubleshoot. That was Sunday, right after I had services. And I was called. They say the 7,000 people building the entire network was down. And they, Monday, you know, it's only afternoon and at night, right? It's only a few hours. The people started to coming back to work. If the computer center is down, no one can get any job done. I think it's lots of waste of resources. So I was driving in. I already started to pray because I trust my Lord, and I trust he is the core of the wisdom. So I'm driving into work. So I went into the lab. There's a few with a lot of people there already. They couldn't resolve the issue. So I was praying and praying, and God put things in my heart. So I said to them, I said, could you call out all the five most busy workstation server? So they did that. Then I saw it's all red light. Of course, because somewhere, you know, there's something wrong. I say, would you compare the timestamp today and Friday before the problem started? Would you compare the timestamp? They compare. There's certain they saw the discrepancies. I said, would you verify, open the files, and do some comparisons? So all of a sudden, within 15 minutes, they restore the files, and then they reboot, they kick off the whole thing. I don't know how many servers that time, but all of a sudden, you can see the red light turn into yellow and then into green. Okay, all the 7,000 network was restored. I think the whole process doesn't cost more than a half hour. And they will struggle for days already. So do we dare to trust everything into his hand? Yes, we do. God does give us common sense. God could give you the opportunity to be trained, right? But God also wants us to experience his wisdom, because his wisdom is shared with his believer, his sons. The next one, do we have unspoken, unspeakable joy within us all the time? There's a lot of challenges in life, and sometimes we were not always being respected, but we wanted to ask God to help us. So at the airport, I call my son. I say, look, there's something God has spoken into my heart and just want to share with you. We, as parents or elders, our responsibility is to really die and live for Christ. We lay down our own desire, our own interest, and allow God's will to be manifest through us. So I don't have any personal likeness to any of the girls my son brought home. But I do pray that God's will be done in his life. So I'm praying for this very heart. So I say, first, son, God loves you very much, and God spoke to my heart, and just want to share with you, the decision is yours. I always put back the decision to their thing, to their mind. They have to really make decision. I say, first of all, when you love someone, you have to accept the whole family, right? Just like someone likes you and someone loves you, they don't respect your parents, how would you feel? So he understood. He didn't say a word. And secondly, I say we all are loyal citizens, and we need to do the right thing. I say for her, I say you will be a proper if she could apply a license to carry a gun. And that was very fit, right? So he didn't say a word. The thirdly, I told him, I say, gee, this girlfriend of his, his father, her father is African-American, and her mom is American. It's a brown girl. So I say to my son, so your future child, it could be brownish color like us. It could also be pitch black. And my son was so funny. He was yelling out from the other side of the phone. He said, really? And we kind of end the conversation. So after a couple of weeks, I returned from my business trip. And I saw him was very resting at home. I said, how come you're not visiting your girlfriend? He said, Mom, do you want to know the truth? I said, sure, if you are willing to share. He said, I decided that I'm not going to go on with her, because his personal agenda was against God's will. So he gracefully finished this relationship. And talk about courtship, my youngest son, when they were all single, my home always flooded with many, many single girls. They come to my home. And they brought me drinks, coffee, Starbucks coffee. They brought me juice. They brought me watermelon or all different things. I think they tried to impress me. So my son was very careful as to who he decided today. And he was 27 years old, like my husband's age. So my husband was asking, he said, you are 27 already. You are kind of old. You're not worried, your future wife? And my son was so cute. He said, Dad, don't worry. If it's meant by God, she will appear in front of me. Very spiritual, right? But anyway, I think he just kind of followed what Bible said. Very similar to the relationship, the dating my husband and I shared when we were young. And he told me, he said he saw one of their sister. They went to the mission trip together in China and in Taiwan. They had been knowing each other for 3 years. They always, you know, are together with a lot of friends, a lot of Christian friends, and they all do things together. This way, they have a way of understanding their characters, culture, background, right? So he told me, he said, Mom, I seem like God put her in my heart. And I can foresee I would like her, I would love her one day. And I would agree, maybe one day I'll be happy to marry her. So when he's seeking for his future wife, he already thought up the whole entire 9 years. He already understand all that. So he talked to me a lot. We talk about a lot. So I said, okay, Mom, we'll pray for you. Yeah, I will pray for you. But later on, the situation gets very smooth and grace. And they began, again, he called that lady over the phone and asked her, would you pray about it, that someday you will be married to a pastor. He was already called as a pastor. And again, she said, I'm not sure, but I will pray. And several months down the road, she responded to my younger son, yes, I will be willing to be considered as a pastor's wife. And then my son told her, I will not be rich, but we will be serving God. Yeah. So, and before that, she would just come home and we would just talk. And we have a Bible study together. We were praying time together. Our home has always had a family altar time. That means four of us. We just share a passage. Then we share what the God word said about what's happening in his words. And then we will apply the application to it. So let's see this here. Verse 8. I set the law always before me. Right? Always before. Is the law always? We have a lot of things before us, but not God. Right? We are chasing so many different things, but none of them relating to God. And because there's a consequence, there's a result, there's a result. Because he is my at my right side, I shall not be what? Shaken. And this world is filled with shaken situations. I was telling you the Bell Labs that I work with in 2003, they closed the entire building. 7,000 people, 4,500 people was laid off, and 1,500 people was transferred to the headquarters in Murray Hill. In this world, everything is shakable. Seriously, everything is shakable. In New Jersey, there are the two people feel that you can, you almost like have a golden 铁饭碗, iron bowl that you're never going to worry about job. One is telecom, one is a pharmaceutical. But two of these fields has been really doing terribly. A lot of merging and acquisition, and they laying off, like thousands laying off. So in this earth, there's nothing is not being able to shake. So because we have him in front of us, so we are not shaken. That's verse 8. This is a very personal experience from David, King David. And I think God wants each one of us to experience his stillness, that he never changed. Verse 8. Can we read out verse 9? My heart is glad, my whole being, my flesh also. They talk about when the heart within us, was rejoiced, and our flesh dwell in security. That we are settled. We are settled. That we are such a restful and we rejoice. I think happiness is something that we change. Something happened, then we feel very happy. But rejoice, something is regardless of the situation. Your heart is rejoiced in the Lord. Because you are observing, you are focusing your eyes on someone who is in abundance, that never changed. So your heart is really at rest. Verse 10, let's read it out loud. You abandon my soul to Sheol. That this talk about David already seeing the resurrection, how Jesus has overcome, and how Jesus will overcome in the death, and how Jesus will resurrect, and that our soul will never be abandoned in Sheol. Or let your Holy One see corruptions. That means what? Only the resurrection will answer the corruptions, right? Otherwise, we will not be able to overcome. So what time do we have on to? 12? Okay, I'll try to behave, disciplined. So Christ becomes our identity. Christ becomes our Redeemer, your Savior. And Christ is our heavenly inheritance and blessings. On the earthly, the inheritance, we feel joy sometimes, right? But can you imagine the inheritance is coming from heaven? Never change, never fade away, never corrupted. And Christ is our satisfaction, fullness of joy. Whatever the situation, it's like a thermometer, right? When you are cold, the inside of Jesus, you will elevate. That you will have enough grace to overcome the coldness outside. So Jesus within us, just help us adjusting all the situation that we encountered. Number four, Christ is our internal life. Let's go very fast. All right. How do we follow his footsteps? Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. Okay. I don't know what you guys do when you run into troubles. Who do you run to? Huh? Mommy? My mom kind of failed me, right? I wasn't able to run to anywhere. The only reason that I was able to sustain because I was running to God all the time. Day and night, I was running to God. Even the worst situation, God is my protection. Second verse says, I say to Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. This is so awesome. You are my Lord. In addition to him that we worship no one. We admiring no one. Because other than God, who give, who provide the very best, We don't have anything other than the best from this world. I was at Bell Labs. I want to share with you why God is my God and I have no good apart from him. I was about to, I was told to have a promotion coming up. So I was very joyful. I went to my roommate and shared this good news with her. And all of a sudden, you can see her face cast down. She was very upset. She said, how could you be qualified? I came to this group before you. That means I invested more time than you do. How could you be qualified before me to get this promotion? You know what? Even I have a manager that I work with, I report with, but I knew my boss is really God. So I was praying inside. Because in all things, God told us to pray. So I do that. I practice that all the time. And I encourage you to do that too. Can you believe, can you imagine when you are young, you know the Lord, and I look at your people, your young people. It's really great because in all things you can pray. And when you pray, you find answers. And the answers in Jesus. Nothing but the best coming from him. So I was praying to God. And I went to my manager's office. I knock on the door. I say, hey, Paul. I say, would you transfer me out to a different department? I'm leaving this promotion spot to my roommate. And he looked at me. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, absolutely. Because I know it's not the man who raised me up. It's God. He raised me up. He's my portion. No one else. So I was transferred to a different department. And before that, before I know it, I got, after 3-6 months, I got another notice saying that you will be promoted. And one time I was shopping, food shopping at one of the stores, and bumped into my old roommate. So I said, hey, how are you doing? I said, did you get that promotion? Are you enjoying it? She said, Esther, I never did get that promotion. So sometime we look ourselves as a different scale. And we were very easily run into this situation. So I encourage you, be humble. We don't scale ourselves compared to men. We want to look inside of us according to God's view. One day I was a CEO of the company already. We have 50, 60 people doing the software technology. I was speaking to one of them, my employee. I was just telling him to do something. But my voice was very harsh. My attitude was rude. So I was told him something. And then I turned around. I started to walk back to my office, right? Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. He said, Esther, this is not the way to talk to people. God's watching us. So what did I say? I bargained with God. I said, God, I'm the boss. God said, I am your boss. God never negotiated with us. He was silent. He would not say a word. He would never lower down his standard. I knew. I turned around. I went back to my colleague. I said, I'm sorry. What I say to you was not right. My attitude was wrong. Maybe what I say is correct, but my attitude was wrong. So I apologize. This is our Christian's life. Jesus is our portion. He's all in all within us. So we have no good apart from you. Everything we have inside is ugly. It's prideful. It's hardened heart. But Jesus is going to bring goodness into our heart. Why he wasting so much time on me? I always praying to God. I say, why you're wasting someone like me with such a patience? Because you want all the goodness in me. Nothing else. The third one, let's all read together. Do you believe each one of us here is Jesus' delight? It's his delight. He finds joy seeing you. When's the last time that we were told by your parents, you are my delight? No matter what you do, you are my delight. in whom is all my delight. So this is what God sees us is a plus. In whom is all my delight. God sees each one of us is a plus. So do not let anyone tell you otherwise. Seriously. We are his delight. And look at yourself through God's view. We are his delight. So your insight can become so strong. You have the strength in God because we are his delight. A lot of people who doesn't know God, academic, maybe that's the only hope they have. So once that hope has broken, this person has no hope. They don't know the value of their life anymore. But each one of us here, that we are his delight. We are the very best that he enjoys in us. One day I went to San Diego to close a deal. I brought two of my PhD employees with me. Because in the IT technology, a lot of you don't have a lot of female and also Asian girls in that kind of field, especially in the higher management level. So I went and I deal with all the Caucasian guys, and there are six people coming to this room. They're all like 6 foot tall. It's very strong because we're doing the government business. So they come in, they carry a very thick binder. They say, "Oh, Esther, this is what you need to read before you start the project." I said, "Okay." And then he say, "Esther, tell me, what does your company do? What did you do to qualify yourself to grant this project? We already won this competition, and I was there challenged. How did we get that?" But guess what? I was well prepared. Because when I was praying to God before I went to San Diego, God already told me, "Child, you need to prepare the PowerPoint. Tell them everything your company has ever done." So I prepared a very good PowerPoint. And God told me, "You prepare some PowerPoint, tell your company the technology that you carry, you innovated." I did that. So I stood up. It was such a joy, because I may be standing before the man, but I was truly standing before God with joy, with peace. So I got up, I shared, and you can see the changes on their face. They said, "Oh, Esther, this is exactly the company that we want to do business with." And after the meeting, I got up, leaving that big binder on the table, not touching it. I walk away. I start the project. This is our Christian belief. That is our faith with actions. Do we need to prepare ourselves? Yes. Since doesn't falling down from heaven, that we don't have to do anything, that we do prepare step by step. With guidance from the Holy Spirit. That once we have known, once we have accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit come and stayed with us. Stay with us. Can we read the fourth one? The sorrows of those. Yeah, we may be, you know, running away from the obvious God, false God. But let's be reminded, we maybe have other God that we worship. My son now is a pastor. At his very young age, he's told me, he said, "Mom, I like money. I want to be very rich." I didn't correct him because you got to let them talk, whatever they want to talk, because this is, they share their mind, they share their thoughts with you. And you know God's going to guide them, right? So you let them talk. Sometimes we are so quick on judging them. Sometimes we are so quick on making the conclusion. It's too early. And God doesn't even make conclusion on us. Who are we have the right to draw conclusion on our next generation? They fall with potential. They fall with intelligence. I often sit down with my boys. I tell them, you know, talk to mommy because I know you knew so much more than I do. I'm humble before them. So he told me, money is his God. I remember him. He was 9 years old. There's a birthday party, right? He wrote. He only know 9 years old, doesn't know a lot of words, but he wrote. He said, money is welcomed. So a lot of friends came by without a gift, but give him money. But God called him. He loved Jesus so much, so very much. I saw the joy. Before I came up here, he sent me a text message. He said, Mom, I'm about to start a rally at Rutgers University, and he took a picture for me. His heart is really pouring out to God. Let's read verse 5. Yes. Jesus is, he secured what we have. And he is our chosen portion and my cup. In our life, we have so many different kind of cups at a different situation, right? They were one time, they easily to be emptied. They easily to be transactioned out. They easily to be swapped out. But never Jesus, he is our portion. He's never changing, he's everlasting portion. You know, even my situation changes, I have a different company, I have a different technology, but Jesus is always my priority. I went to Germany one time to help all the CEOs doing business in Berlin. One of the sisters doing very successfully. They drove out all the Jewish people making the shoes business. So they were doing so much, they're doing so much business in Europe. He asked me a question. He said, Esther, I put a Bible right next to my bed because I want to read God's word. I put a Bible in my family room because I also want to read God's word. But time goes on. I still don't have time to read the words. What should I do? When she was asking me this question, I was praying inside. All of a sudden, God's answer was in my heart. Joseph, if you have 10 things to do in a day, will you be easy to read the Bible according to your plan? Would that be easy to read God's word if you have 10 things to do? You know, we always want, hey, you know, reading God's word is a natural thing. We need to do this, right? But our inside does not like God. Does not like to get closer to God. So God puts his thought in my heart. I say, sister, if God is your only top priority, I guarantee you'll reach out to grab the Bible and you will start reading it. Everything else coming the second place. It's almost like you put on the proper dress when you go out the door. You read God's word, God prepare your heart already. So whatever you meet, and God will prepare your word for it. So you are at a school. Last year, I brought a youth team to one of the China city for do the mission work. The senior high came back. He saw all those things God's doing in the field, he came home. He told me, Sumo, I have a best friend who's a Christian. He wanted to commit suicide. He was depressed. What should I do? I say, God choose his vessel to save. Never underestimate your age. I brought my mathematics teacher in senior high to the Lord. When I was first met the Lord, I understood she got stomach cancer. And I look around, because nobody has the gospel, I do. So I went to visit her in the hospital at my senior high. I was very young. I didn't know what to do. I tell her, God's saving grace on me. I was lost. My family was lost. But Jesus find me. I used to be so scared because I have no parents as my protection until I met the Lord. I was so cool. I was fine. I read the Bibles, simple Bible to her. I sent the songs. Like you guys all very equipped, I can see. I sent a song to her. And her soul was healed by Jesus. She accepted Jesus. I was very little. I went to the church, invited the pastor over to her bedside, baptized her. And then she went to the Lord. Her body may decay, but her spirit went to God. So Jesus is our portion, and he is you, your cup, and my cup. He secures what we have. He secures, because nothing can ever take away what God has given to us. Can you just meditate that? Nothing can take away what God has given to you. Wow, you know, this is such a deal, I'm telling you. Number six. The line has fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Using the words to describe the inheritance, beautiful inheritance, because Jesus is the beauty, right? What's the line for? Line is for protections. Not only the limitations, but also a protection. No one, not a single enemy can ever cross the line to attack us. We are within his protection line. We are his most precious to his heart. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance from heaven, not earthly. You know, if one day we heard, you know, someone told me that you have an inheritance, you will be joyful. But let me ask you, are you sure that you have a heavenly inheritance? It's waiting for you. I'm very looking forward to one day that I will stand before my King overjoyed and to really see him face to face. The line has fallen for me in a pleasant places. Many places, every place God took us is the beautiful place. Every place God took us is beautiful places. I was doing the business. And one of the company tried to come in to steal the business from us, under us. Of course, they have a connection to the upper management. So they planned out the whole thing. Came in to work with us side by side to learn what we do on a daily basis. So they can prepare to take over the projects. Did I see everything? Yes, I did. And also in the public, they have no excuses to take away the project, right? They started humiliated in front of the public. Those words are very hard to swallow in the public. I went to the bathroom and cried. I don't want anyone to see my tears, but I was crying before God. And that was okay to cry before God. I said, God, you saw everything. You saw everything. But I have no grudges against them because I know all the places God has allowed are beautiful places. I'm amen to that all the way. So one day I was walking on the hallway. God's word spoke into my heart. I said, child, this is from me. I'm sitting down to purify you. And I was speechless. I was okay. So anyone who come over the other hallway, those people humiliated me in front of the public, I say hi to them without any grudges. I pray for them. This is the Christian overcoming faith. That we are not only surviving, brothers and sisters, we are overcoming. We are victorious. We are worried before God. That's why we need to raise up ourselves and to pray for ourselves, to pray these generations, and to pray that for the church. That we ought to be the lampstand that people can see what God is doing among us. Those people who are sick, they can come to the church and we can lay hands and we can pray for them. Those people, the heart is broken, that we can pray with them together. But I often say, encourage you guys, that we are not magicians. So I told all the people, I do not have answers for you, but Jesus does. So we don't want to give them the false hope, but we want to be honest up front. I said, I do not have the answer, but Jesus does. So we can spend time with them to pray together, small to the old in the church, that we're all praying that God will use each one of us. Seven, together. Who give me counsel in the night, also my heart instructs me. God is everywhere. God is 24 hours. God give us the counsel that we run to him, we get counsel from. The wisdom in the night, also my heart instructs me. My son was in pain state. He ran into some trouble. He didn't tell me, but I knew it in my spirit. At night, God woke me up. He told me to pray for your son. I did. And one time after I praying, he told me to call your son and to let him know. So I did. So hey, I say, how are you doing? It's kind of late, sorry I call you. But I just wanted to let you know Jesus loves you so much to a point. He woke me up to pray for you. I said, you don't have to tell me what has happened. You know, we need to respect people's privacy. Even is for our sons and daughters. We need to respect the privacy. I said, if you don't want to tell me, you don't need to tell me. But God woke me up and prayed for you. And God loves you. He knew you were in some sort of trouble. I was praying for you. So I hear the other side of the phone. He was weeping. He was crying. So after 15, 20 minutes, I said, would it be okay if I pray for you? He said, yes. So we prayed. A few of this connect all the gaps that he was able to find his way home to Jesus. That's why we are here. I brought all my best friends, at least I shared the gospel with them. Some of them accept Christ. Some of the time hasn't come yet. But only you can speak the gospel to them because you are their best friends. Right? We are at a strategic position. God puts us there for a purpose. Number 8, let's read. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So this is so good. Set the Lord always before me. We don't put anything else in front of us. Not the promotion, not the worldly things, not anything else. Not our, you know, the grand achievement from our child. We put God always before me. So we can set it right. The value system in us will be correct. Because he is at my right. Rise always talk about strength. So he is our strength. And we should not be shaken. World will change. God will never change. One day I was going to work. And I have to drive my son to senior high. We had a conversation. We always pray to God, give me words that I could have a meaningful, intelligent conversation with my sons. So I was asking him, I say, hey, if I drop you off and we start a World War III, that we will no longer see each other, what would you do? Without any hesitations, he said to me, Mom, we may not see each other on this earth, but I'm sure that we're going to see each other up there. That was his answer. He said, do not ever worry me because I will overcome. So this is our faith that God has granted to us. I was consulted with a senior high the last year. Then the upcoming summer, she's going to be admitted to Princeton. And we had a conversation. I like to have a conversation with young people. They are about to leaving for university. I said, you can ask me anything. I may not have the answer, but I will try. She said, Princeton is a very liberal school. Which side as a Christian do I take? We talk about homosexuality. Of course, I show her a lot of good debate off the Google. You can see a lot of good conversation available. But I asked her, does Jesus care for sinners? Does Jesus hate sins? He said, yes. I say, this is the world format is trying to drive us into the trap. I say, we don't have to take side. If we ever being forced to take a side, which side should we take? Jesus loves sinners, and we loved those sinners. We see them just like the regular sinners. So all these things that we encounter in life with Jesus at our right side, we will not be shaken. If you do not know exactly how to present yourself, just pray to God. Say, God, would you help me that I can present myself, right? Number 9, therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Jesus cares for our heart, Jesus cares for our whole being, and Jesus cares for our flesh. It's all very important. So not just only the spiritual wellness, Jesus cares for our heart that is joyful. Our whole being is healthy. Our flesh dwelled in security. That is promises. So let's not overlooking or maybe not distribute equally. That sometimes we just say, go be safe, and knowing that he or she actually needs some help, right? So we just do whatever according to God's word, that we need to be balanced. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your holy one see corruption. And this is talk about the resurrection. King David, in the prophecy, he already sees that Jesus will went into the death, he will be crucified, and he will resurrect. So if he resurrect, that we all, as his son, that we share the same life, we will be resurrect. We'll never see any corruptions. 11. You'll make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is, again, talk about paths of life. In our life, we have many paths that we have crossed over, right? But this is talk about he showed me the path of life. And I think that's the most important thing. We went to Chicago. I just came back from Hawaii. I don't know how many paths in life that we have came across, right? But this is talk about he will let us know the most important, the path of life. Not only your life, but the life of your best friends, the life of your family members, the life of everyone else. God has a precious heart for it. Presence, your presence, there is fullness of joy. So without Jesus' presence in our life, there's no the fullness extended of joy. And without in his presence, there will be shadows and there will be darkness in our life. Again, repeated, pleasures forevermore. It's everlasting. And I share with you many of my memory and history already that not all the journey paths is easy, but with he is my portion, it's actually a very joyful ride. The fullness of joy. We always put Jesus first. We put the others next and ourselves next, last. I think this concludes my sharing tonight. And I want to open the floor to see anyone has any questions. You can 用中文问问题也可以, if you care to ask. If we have, we have a closing prayer. Would that be okay? Okay. Jesus, we come before you and knowing that you know the deepest of our thought. And this is such a comfort that you know us from far away. Yet you cast away our sins against you. And we pray tonight that the blood of Jesus will again showered over us. It will make us clean. Make us holiness unto you. Would you also pour out your spirit into our heart as well? That we will know in all things that we can pray to you, that we can wait for your answers, that in your presence that we work on this world with strength, with wisdom and knowledge from above. And we give all the thank, we give all the honor and praises to you tonight. Jesus, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.